Dale Woods Seamster with us tonight from Clover, South Carolina. You come, dear brother. Man, what a message this morning. You pray for this preacher as he preaches to our heart tonight. I appreciate him, cherish his friendship. I love you, preacher.
Love you, too.
While you turn into Psalms 23, I want to thank God for the opportunity that He's given us to be here. For the privilege to stand in this pulpit, and above all, for the privilege to exalt our Lord. Thank you for the good hospitality, for the good fellowship, for all that's been done. I've been treated like a king. I do want to say I appreciate my wife and my daughter and son-in-law being with me. They are a blessing. Diane, as Brother Ron came by me tonight and said he told a preacher that the best thing that ever happened to Elwood Seamster was Diane. And the best thing about him was Diane. I agree 100%. But on the spiritual side, the best thing that's ever happened to me is my wonderful Lord. Psalms 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, thank you tonight for this privilege once again. We ask you now to anoint us afresh and anew. We pray that you would put the word of God into the people of God's heart. Help us tonight to do that which we cannot. And we will praise you and thank you for what you do. In Jesus' bloodstained name we thank you. Amen. It has been said that Psalms 23 is probably one of the greatest psalms that's ever been penned by David. David is an old man when he writes this psalm. Many people think that he's just a young shepherd lad, leading the sheep, feeding the sheep, guiding the sheep, goading the sheep, and guarding the sheep. But David is an old man getting ready to cross over to the other side. He's very confident when he pens these words, and he's not just shooting in the air. He knows what he's talking about. As we look at this psalm tonight, we can honestly say that David, without a doubt, has his signature all through the psalm. Only a shepherd who knows the testings, the trials, the troubles, the tears, and the triumphs can attest to the truths that are seen in these verses. It is more than a psalm to be read at some funeral. It is more than a psalm to be quoted in a Sunday school or memorized by children. It is a psalm that has a powerful word that you and I can live by day as we go through our journey here on this earth. It has been called the pearl of the parables. Psalms 22, Psalms 23, and Psalms 24 should be read in sequence. When you read these psalms tonight, it's very evident that you will see that Psalms 23 is one of the great psalms showing us not as only is it a shepherd song, but it's a song of guidance and grace. Psalms 22 is a song of crucifixion, and Psalms 24 is a song of resurrection. The 23rd psalm has been called the He-Me Psalm. Dr. Spurgeon, when he read the psalm, studied the psalm, he liked to call it the He-Me Psalm because 13 times the word He is mentioned, and 17 times the word Me is mentioned. As we look at this psalm tonight, we are finding out that David writes this psalm as the pearl of the psalms as he pins this down. David reminisces over how God has taken care of him. He thanks God for the way that God has led him down through the way and through the valleys of the shadow of death. David remembers how that he has been hunted by Saul. He remembers how he's been hounded by sin. And he remembers how he's been haunted by Satan. David is on his way to a better land and a better place. But he remembers that God's taken care of him. And thank God as he refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus in John chapter 10 and verse 7 says, I am the good shepherd. I'm thankful tonight that he is my shepherd. I am thankful tonight that he is the good shepherd of John chapter 10. He is the great shepherd of Hebrews chapter 13. And thank God he is the chief shepherd of 1 Peter chapter 5. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The words lamb and lambs and sheep and shepherd appear some 1,140 times in the Word of God. That tells me that would be well worth our study and well worth our time to see about the shepherd that leads the sheep. As we look to this tremendous psalm tonight, it has been said, of course I've said, you need to read it in sequence. It's a trilogy, Psalms 22, Psalms 23, and Psalms 24. In Psalms 22, we see the shepherd's cross. In Psalms 23, we see the shepherd's crook. In Psalms 24, there's the shepherd's crown. In Psalms 22, there's the grace of the shepherd. In Psalms 23, there's the guidance of the shepherd. In Psalms 24, there's the glory of the shepherd. In Psalms 22, there's the provision of the shepherd. In Psalms 23, there's the protection of the shepherd. And in Psalms 24, there's the prospects of the shepherd. In Psalms 22, there is the Lord as our substitute. Psalms 23, there's the Lord as our shepherd. In Psalms 24, the Lord as our sovereign. In Psalms 22, we see Jesus Christ the same yesterday. Psalms 23, Jesus Christ the same today. And Psalms 24, Jesus Christ the same forever. In Psalms 22, there's the shepherd that's sorting the sheep. Psalms 23, the shepherd saves the sheep. And thank God that Psalms 24, the shepherd sanctifies the sheep. As we look at Psalms 22, we find the shepherd suffering for the sheep, the shepherd satisfying the sheep, and the shepherd sheltering the sheep. In Psalms 24, he guides the sheep, he girds the sheep, he guards the sheep, and he goads the sheep. In Psalms 24, we see the shepherd returning for the sheep, reigning over the sheep, and rewarding the sheep. I think it's a wonderful thing that in the Old Testament economy, the sheep died for the shepherd. But in the New Testament economy, the shepherd died for the sheep. Thank God I'm glad tonight that the Lord is my shepherd. Somebody once said that God opened up a virgin womb and gave us the good shepherd. One day God opened up a virgin tomb and gave us the great shepherd. But one day he's going to open up the virgin skies and give us the chief shepherd. I'm glad tonight that we have a Savior and a sovereign God that we can look to as our shepherd. So David, as he's facing death, he reminisces about how good God's been to him. And in this psalm we see there is peace. In this psalm we find out that there's green pastures. In this psalm we find that there are still waters. In this psalm there are tables spread. In this psalm, thank God, there is a enemy before you. But I want to say to you that in Psalms 23 we have the wonderful Savior that does for us which we cannot do for ourselves. I remind you tonight that you cannot have the peace of Psalms 23 until you first of all come by the way of the cross of Psalms 22. You cannot have the green pastures of Psalms 23 until you first of all lay at the foot of the cross of Psalms 22. You cannot have the still waters of Psalms 23 until you've been by the way of the cross in Psalms 22. You cannot have the table spread of Psalms 23 until you first of all come by the way of the cross of Psalms 22. And as we see this psalm tonight, we are very fortunate to have it in our midst that we can read this and look to it. For David tells us that the shepherd is the one that's the greatest above all. I realize tonight that it would take me from now to any morning to preach all six of these verses to give you an exegesis of this. So it's not my intention to do that. But I do want to preach for about 2 hours anyway. As we look to this psalm tonight, My granddaughter told them this morning, she said, it's very evident that Papa's not here. She said, the preacher that preached for Papa went 30 minutes longer than he does. I said, my God, they must have eaten about 2:30 today. So But anyway, I am thankful tonight that we have a great shepherd. I'm thankful tonight that the Lord is my shepherd. David tells us in this verse 1 that he is very confident. You'll notice here, the Lord is my shepherd. We could really stop with the Lord. We could really say the Lord and just go continually on with that. But David says the Lord is my shepherd and the Lord is present tense. And I'm thankful tonight that he is a present tense God. I am thankful tonight, thank God, that he saved me from the penalty of sin. I am thankful that he saved me from the power of sin. And one day we will be delivered from the presence of sin. That's the cross that God has put for you and for me that we can look to, that he can be called the Savior of all mankind. I praise him and thank him tonight that he's the one that was on the cross in Psalms 22, where he is my past. In Psalms 23, he's my companion. That's my present. And in Psalms 24, the conqueror, the future. Yes, he's the God that saves, and he's the God that does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Before we see this word, Lord, in verse 1. You'll notice that word, capital O, capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D. It's a very interesting word. There are of the 14 compound names for God that's found in the Word of God, 7 of them are found in these 6 verses. As we look at verse 1, we find that Jehovah Roah is seen. The Lord is my shepherd. Then verse 2, we find Jehovah Shalom, the Lord who is the one that gives peace. And in verse 3, we find Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, the physician. In verse 3, there's Jehovah Tishkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. And in verse 4, there's Jehovah Shamrah, the Lord is there. Then verse 6, there's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, my banner, or my victory. In verse 6, there's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. I'm thankful tonight that I've got a God that provides my every need. You recall in Genesis chapter 1 is the word where God uses in the beginning how God created. He's the creator God. In Genesis chapter 3, you will find when the Satan come on the scene, I don't know how long he'd been here at that particular time, but it's the first time God reveals him to us. And I don't know how long he'd walked in the garden, don't know how long he tempted Eve, don't know how long it's been up against it. But I do know this, when he comes on the scene, he opens his mouth and he lies. He cast his doubt on God's Word, cast his doubt on what God has said, and Satan uses the word that the Jehovah has created you, but he's left you alone. He's created you, he's let you get into this mess, and now he's let you alone. But Eve returns the word by using the word for Lord, and uses the word of God. He's not only the creator God, Yahweh, but thank God he is the God that has created, he is the God that sustains, and he will never leave nor forsake me. I want to say to you tonight, whatever you're up against and whatever you go against, thank God, God will never leave nor forsake one of his children. God will see it through and God will see to it. So the Lord is present tense. David is very confident as he pens these words. The Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah for the great God of heaven. I'm glad that we are kept by the power of God. I listened to an old colored preacher one time preaching on the eternal security of the believer. I believe that. I believe with all my heart and with all my soul. When God saves you, you are sealed unto the day of redemption. I had him on the radio and he was preaching. He says, I believe in this thing called eternal security. He said, I like it. He said, I like what John says in John chapter 10 when he says, I give unto them eternal life and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gave them me is great in all and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, out of my hand. And he says, I like this. He said, after all, they're the only ones doing any plucking anyway. Thank God I'm glad. I'm glad tonight, hallelujah, that I've been set free. I'm glad tonight that there's a song in my heart and a spring in my step and something that God's done for me that no one else, hallelujah, whether they ever get it or not, I'm glad I'm going and I'm going to heaven with him. David is confident here. Thank God, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. He says, I shall not want. What a verse of scripture. I shall not want. David is telling us tonight that because God is our shepherd, And because God is the one that leads and guides and directs us, He said, I shall not want for rest because He maketh me to lie down. I shall not want for refreshment because He leadeth me beside the still water. I shall not want for restoration because He restores my soul. I shall not want for counsel because He leads me in the paths of righteousness. I shall not want for companionship, for Thou art with me. I shall not want for comfort, for Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. That's the one that brings them across in the book of Exodus when Moses stood and said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Thank God He held that rod up, and as He did that, the waters departed with an impossible situation where the devil and his crowd was behind them. They couldn't go to the right. They couldn't go to the left. They couldn't go forward. They couldn't go back. And so, praise God. God says, I got you where I want you. Stand still and see the salvation of God. So that rod was stretched out. The waters opened up. And they went across on dry ground. When He brought it down, He covered that devil's crowd up. I say that's comfort in knowing that God will lead you. And God will guide you. And God will direct you. And God will cover it up. David said, I shall not want for provender, for Thou prepareth a table. I like this part. In the presence of mine enemies, glory be unto God. God will set a table and spread that thing out and give you the meat of the Word. Help you to go along right in the presence of the devil's crowd. And when the devil thinks he's got you sewed up, God will say, spoon feed him. David knew who was preparing his table. David knew what he was doing. David says, I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet not have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Praise God, David knew that God had a table set and it was spread. And David says, I'm going to feast on the Word of my God. He says, I shall not want for power, for Thou anointeth me yet. I shall not want for anything in this life or the life to come, for I shall dwell. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall not want for anything in eternity. Thank God, for I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I shall not want when bread ceases. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I shall not want when toil comes. Launch out into the deep. Let down thy nets. I shall not want when the purse is empty. Go to the riverbank. Pull the corn out of the fish's mouth. I shall not want when the wolf comes. I'll give my life for the sheep. I want to tell you something tonight, child of God. The devil's not afraid of the sheep, but he's sure afraid of that shepherd. The devil can tear me to threads before I turn around. The devil can quote scripture. He misquotes it, but he can quote it. The devil knows the Word. God, the devil knows more of the promises of God than most Baptists. I heard a preacher say this one time. He said, that Bible says, if you resist the devil, then he'll have to flee from you. That ain't what that Bible says. You can resist him all day long. Bless God, I'm going to tell you, he's going to tear you up. That's what he's going to do. The key to that is you submit yourself to God. You submit to God first, then resist the devil. Praise God, when you're full of God and the power of God and the Holy Ghost, the devil can't do anything with that. I shall not want, for his riches are unsearchable. I shall not want, for his joy is unspeakable. I shall not want, for his power is unlimited. I shall not want, for his faithfulness is unfailing. I shall not want, for His Word is unshakable. I shall not want, for His love is unchangeable. This might not help you, but it blessed the devil out of me. It dawned on me one day that it's absolutely nothing that I can do to get God to love me any more than He ever has at any time in my life. Brother Ron, He loves me just as much right now as He did when I was a drunk in Halifax County. He loves me just as much right now as He did when I was a sinner, lost and undone, without God our Son. But thanks be unto God. Hallelujah. He came by one day, reached down, picked me up, set me on a solid rock, gave me something to live for and something to die for. That's my God. I've been married to that pretty little woman right there, second row. 42 years in September. I love her more now than I've ever loved her in my life. You ever thought about divorce, preacher? Absolutely not. Murder? Yes. I got the men on my side. I used to think, when I first started preaching, I was like a bull in a china shop, buddy. Lord God, I had a 3-point outline, a poem, and 2 sad stories. It made no difference what I preached on, and when I started, it was sin, sin, sin. Sin, sin, sin. Got that poem out, and they thought they would get some relief. And I said, you sinners, listen to this. Now, I'm against sin. And I think you ought to preach against it. Y'all ought to nail it to the wall. Bless God. If it needs to be dealt with, deal with it. It don't bother me to call it what it ought to be called. When it ought to be called and how it ought to be called. I'm not insinuating that at all. But I learned that it was a little bit more in the Bible. To give to God's sheep.
Oh yeah. Gotta feed them.
Than about sin. Because if you're a sheep, a saved sheep, let me say. Because God ain't in the dehoning business. But if you're a sheep, saved, when you come, it's the shepherd's job to feed you. You know what I'm finding? I'm finding in some churches that you go into, sheep are starving to death. The sheep are not want for provisions. They are not want for preaching. God, I love us crowd. Whew. Man, I feel like I'm at home. But I used to preach and used to believe. In Revelation chapter 2, when he says you've left your first love. And you notice it said left, not lost. If I leave that, I know where I left it. I can go right back and get it. But if I lose it, I don't know where I left it. I used to wax eloquently, if that be so for me. I'm going back to the day you got saved. Remembering where it was at. Getting back and falling in love with Him like you did that day. But it's been 36 years, Brother Ron. A lot of waters running under the bridge. A lot of deep valleys. A lot of lonely nights. A lot of sad times. Trials. Tribulations. Tests. Wondering where God's at. And said, why? 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 Oh God, why? And boy, He reached out, picked me up and pulled me unto His bosom. And sings to me in the night. And says, I'm in control of this thing. I don't mean to be mean. Don't want to be controversial. But I believe that verse of Scripture is talking about that first love. If it's ever been a time in your life that you were closer to Him in your service towards Him than you are now, you better get back to it. Because, brother, He means more to me tonight than He did 36 years ago. I didn't know that He could deliver me like He did. I didn't know that He could take a burden like He did. I didn't know that God would let me squall my eyes and tears flood my face and cry myself to sleep and get up the next morning after about a half hour of sleep with a hurting heart and walk in the floor and crying and saying, oh God, oh God, oh God, what can I do? But now I know. He's so precious to me. He's precious. He's precious. If I hadn't gone through that, I wouldn't know that He could do it.
Yes, preacher. Yes, sir,
brother. You telling me that God can do something with you, that's wonderful. But I got to know it myself. I was telling today at lunch, I didn't have a clue about what depression was. My wife said, my testimony's a witness to it. So I'd nail it to the wall. I said, bless. That's when I was like a bull in a china shop. Now I'm a calf in a cabbage patch. But I'd nail it to the wall. I said, you sorry, low down, good for nothing rascal. Won't trust God. Looking away from God. Thinking God can't take care of you and God can't put that peace in your heart. And the Lord said, uh-huh. I'll see about that. We'll see how you gonna do, big boy. 1984, I laid over in the hospital for 11 days looking up at the ceiling. Had a heart attack. That's back when they didn't know anything about the heart. Coming out stuck shots in my stomach. They wouldn't have no problem finding it now. But I went into a state of depression. When I come home, my wife called over that doctor and she said, look, I gotta have some help. She said, I'm married to a man that didn't know what depression meant. I'm married to a man that was on the mountaintop 24 hours a day. I've been married to a man that shouted all the time. I've been married to a man that didn't know what it was to be in a state of the valley. And she said, now, he won't even read his Bible. Don't hold it against me. But I'm not 10 feet tall and bulletproof. I'm talking about I shall not want. You can rest assured that's probably the only verse we'll get to. I'd go in my bed. What little I did sleep, she would put Alexander Scorby on headphones, CD tape. I'm a cassette tape. While I was sleeping, the Word of God was churning into me. I'd wake up. That Word man would be reading the Word of God. I ago, Brother Don, Brother Ken. I hate to even tell this, but I feel impressed of God to say it. It may help somebody. My wife would come in. I'd say, "How'd the service go?" If she said good, I'd squall. They don't need me no more. They're going to vote me out. They're going to get somebody better than me. She come back and she said, "I'll be glad when you get back, honey. It was the boredest thing I've been in my life." I said, "Oh, God, I got to get up and get to that." One Sunday night, after 6 weeks out of my pulpit, nobody there but me. Of course, God was there and I didn't realize it. He was in me. I got a 357. Walked outside down my driveway to the mailbox. I wasn't trying to hide it. I was going to do it right there so somebody would find me. Cocked it back and put it right there. I tell this out of shame, not boasting. My hand got to shaking so, and I'd happen to look up, and the biggest, most beautiful, brightest moon I had ever seen in all of my years on this earth. It seemed to be saying to me. Now I said seen. Don't read something I'm not saying. I didn't hear no audible voice, but it just seemed that God said, "I put that there. Don't you think I can handle your little problem?" I eased it back, pushed it down, and squalled like a baby. Cried all the way back to the house. Got my Bible for the first time in about 8 weeks. I got my Bible, opened up, and said, "Dear God," and read that psalm. Glory be unto God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not walk. Thank God He'll see you through. Preacher, do you get depressed anymore? Yes, 1,000 times yes. But glory be unto God. I've got one that'll bring me through it. I shall not want, for there's supply for every need. There's strength for weakness, hope for despair. Food for hunger, water for thirst, wisdom for ignorance, healing for wounds, and satisfaction for unrest. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want for refreshments because He leads me by the still waters. I shall not want for preservation because He restores my soul. For guidance because He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. For peace because I shall fear no evil. For companionship, for Thou art with me. For anything in this world or the life to come, for I'll be with Him forever. Now, I'm not one to, please don't think I'm trying to straighten out this Bible. This Bible straightens me out. But don't you look at that verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. And look at that next word. What does it say? Won't. It's a very interesting word. It's transliterated in the New Testament for the word worry. I shall not want, and it carries a full connotation of the word won't. But it goes a little deeper and a little further than that. Not only shall I not want, I shall not worry. There are four things that we worry. There's four things, and I guarantee you, a crowd this size tonight, there's some people right in here, one of these things is going to hit you right between the eyes. I'm talking to people tonight where we live. I'm talking to people where the rubber meets the road. I'm talking to people living in the real world. I'm talking to people that have burdens. I'm talking to people that know what it is to go through trials. I'm talking to people tonight that know what it is to be in trouble. I'm talking to people tonight to know what it is to be in the valley. What's the four things we worry about, preacher? The first thing we worry about is our family. I don't have to dwell on that and preach a message on it. You worry about your family. My grandchildren, I'm already worrying about them. My youngest child is 36 years old. My youngest grandchild is 2 years old. My oldest grandchild is 17 years old. But I worry about those grandchildren. I worry about the world they've got to face. I worry about the traps that's set for them. I worry about if they're going to get the right mate. I worry about how they're going to do in school. I worry about what they're going to do. I worry about my family. The next thing we worry about is we worry about our finances. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not worry. But we worry about our finances. When I come by that gas station up yonder a while ago in premium gas, I mean the price of luxury is high. And that premium gas is $3.99. I don't know why in the name of God's heaven that devil's crowd don't try to be so, quit trying to be so deceitful and just put $4. And I made this statement out loud. I said, "Dear God Almighty." And then sweet Holy Ghost said, "Well, who's taking care of this crowd?" I remember when bread was 29 cent a loaf. Back in Virginia, that's where I'm originally from. You can never guess that, but that's where I'm originally from. I bought bread for 29 cent a loaf. We called it light bread. I bought a loaf of bread the other day. It was $2.79. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. We worry about our finances. We worry about our families. We worry about our foes. What others are going to say. I'd get out of the ministry before the sun come up in the morning if I had to worry about what others are going to say about me. We don't do things at our church like a normal church. And I don't even have to mention this to you. I know y'all don't do things like that. I had a preacher coming to preach for me and another preacher in there. He said, "You mean you're going to have him? Why?" I said, "Because God told me to." I didn't have to meet with the deacons and meet with the ministerial assassination and meet with that, see what they wanted. I don't worry about what others say. All I worry about is Calvary Baptist Church. I don't worry about what other preachers say about my church. All I worry about is standing before God and hearing Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We done got so stereotyped and so pharisaical and so fed up with this crowd. Bless God that we've let them rob us of our joy. We've let them rob us of our peace. We've let them rob us of our shout. We've let them rob us of things that this Bible tells us that we are able to do. Baptists shouted before the Pentecostals. It's we've let them knock the shout out of us. And don't get me wrong, shouting can be just as fleshly as adultery. I'm not against a good shout. Praise God, one of these days I may learn how to do it. But we worry about what others are going to say. What would God do in this congregation? And in my congregation, in your congregation, if we really didn't worry and really didn't give a flip, would anybody have said? We worry about our future. They're the four things that we worry about. Everything you're up against will fall in one of those categories. You can put your little subpoints on under them, and you can put tack your own little title onto it, but the four categories I just mentioned, everything else falls under those four categories. David says the Lord is, present tense, not was, not will be, although He was and will be, He is. I shall not want, I shall not worry about my future. Sheep are dumb animals. We ought not be so high and mighty and jump up and say, I'm a sheep. What we're doing is admitting that we're dumb. Sheep have no sense of direction. Left to themselves, they go in circles and go astray. God puts a man in the pulpit to keep them together. Sheep cannot clean themselves. They're not like a cat. God deliver us all. I hope I don't bust your bubble. But if you got a cat, I'm going to pray for you. I got up one morning. I like to drive a clean vehicle. I got up one Sunday morning, went to my vehicle. Come a little shower of rain that night, and it was a mud hole at the neighbor's house. And the neighbor's cat. I don't like my neighbors. Right down the windshield. Ching! Two red streaks of mud. Cat paws all over my hood. I got a 1100 Remington. I went back to get that shotgun. Don't tell us on me, but it had 5 shells, not 3. I love you. I'm going to put you out of your stinking misery. And I turned that gun. Dummy. I'm a dumb animal. Dumb sheep. No wonder God calls us dumb. I turned that gun, was fixing to pull the trigger, and the Holy Ghost said, oh! I let it go. I was fixing to shoot right through my neighbor's back door. Which at that time, it wouldn't have bothered me. It would have been an accident. I'd have got right with God later. But old dog can halfway clean yourself up. Old cat can clean himself. But a sheep can't do that. That shepherd has to clean that sheep. Have to share that sheep. That shepherd. And by the way, that shepherd's the only one who has the right to do that. This man right here can come in this pulpit and preach to you what he wants to. Stay in this book and lay it on you and skin your hide. Got every right under God's heaven to do it when he needs to do it. I don't have that right, not in this pulpit. Aren't you glad, thank God, that our great shepherd reached down and picked us up, cleaned us real good, set us up, and said, go on. Now, some of y'all are wondering, before I probably lost you, some of y'all are wondering what happened to the cat. I've got a state trooper in my church. I love him to death. And I told him. I told him the situation would happen. He said, don't worry about it, preacher. See, he's my deacon. He said, you don't need to get in that position. He said, but it ain't going to bother me. Diane come out about it. She said, where's that cat? I said, oh no. I don't know. Find somewhere in hell if they got a place for cats to go to hell. Sheep can't find food on their own. They have to be fed. If a sheep don't find the proper food, the water, they'll eat poison, they'll die. That shepherd leads them right to the watering hole. Right to the proper place. Sheep are easily frightened. Philip Kelly in his book says the way that shepherd calms those sheep at night. And by the way, that shepherd knows those sheep by name. And they'll follow that shepherd's voice and won't follow anybody else. He says if they're upset and they've been through something, he said, and they're in a turmoil. He said that shepherd, oh dear God. He said he'll get right in the middle of them and sing to them. I think that's scriptural. Job 35:10. Says the songs in the night. He sang songs in the night. Oh God, I've laid on my bed many nights. Whew. Didn't know what I was going to do. Didn't know how I was going to turn. Didn't know how I was going to face this situation. Didn't know how I was going to handle this. Didn't know how I was going to bring this before this. Didn't know how I was going to take care of this situation. And praise be unto God, he'd sang to me. Pick him up. Lay him on his bosom. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus. That passive, all understanding, songs in the night. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Two powers that lead the Christian in this life as the Word of God, the power of God, or the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. And the Word of God will never lead you a place that God cannot keep you and help you. Lie down in green pastures. They'll not lie down unless they are free from all fear. There's no fiction between the ram and the sheep, and no parasites, and if they are hungry. So God's sheep need to lie down. David knew what it was as an old man to lie down in green pastures. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. I'm just going to mention this and go on. He restoreth my soul. That word restore means to get out of a rut. You ever been in a rut? You know what a rut is? A grave with two ends knocked out. But he'll get you out of it. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Where he leads me, paths of righteousness. Why he leads me? For his name's sake. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God help us. David says, yea, though I walk through the valley. No stopping. We're going through it. It's upon that a man wants to die after this, the judgment. We're going through it. He says, I'm facing death, but I fear no evil. He didn't say he didn't fear. He said, I fear no evil. God put something in you called perseverance. But he said, I fear no evil. I don't fear dying. You don't even if you're saved. He took the sting out of that. Yes, sir. Oh, death. Dear God, I wish I could sing. But he took it out. If I lay my head on my pillow tonight, Brother Ken, I can honestly say my heart to God tonight, if God sees fit to take me out of here, I don't fear going. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I've already mentioned that a little bit. Verse 5. Thou prepare for a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Let me give you these things and give me about 10 more minutes and I'll be done. This anointeth my head with oil. This oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost. What did the shepherd do with that oil? David knew what he was talking about. When God anointed his head. But David did some anointing himself. The heads of those sheep. He puts it on the head to keep the sheep from getting sunstroke. For keep them from getting stuck on the self. It's been my experience that a person that's filled with the Spirit of God don't brag about it. A person that's close to God don't walk around and tell everybody, hey, everybody, I've been with God. My experience and what this Bible teaches me is every man that got close to God always saying, woe is me. I'm the chiefest of sinners. Oh, wretched man that I am. The closer you get to God, the more filthy you see yourself. One of the biggest verses that God has used to help me in my lifetime as a Christian has been for the last 3 months. John chapter 3. In verse 30. He must increase. I must decrease. The closer I get to Him. Now I know I got all of God I'm going to ever get. Ain't none of the stages of getting half and present and three-fourths and all this stuff. Oh no. You got all of God you ever going to get the day God saved you. But He gets more of you. And the closer I get to Him, the bigger He gets. And the smaller I get. The further I get from Him, the smaller He gets, the bigger I get. Second thing that He does that all, puts it on scratches. If you do anything for God, you're going to get scratched. You stand for God, you move for God, you sing for God, you go for the glory of God, you're going to get scratched. This world hates you! They'll go for the guzzler! You're going to be lied about! You'll be stomped on, stepped on, kicked, and everything else! You'll be torn up! Like a baby that falls out of a swing. You grab that little baby and bring it, start putting the ointment and the salves, rubbing it on and getting it healing. The blessed Holy Ghost, praise be unto God, picks us up and starts anointing us. Rubbing it on us. You need the Holy Ghost and all of God to take care of your scratches. I'm on my head with oil. And for the eyesight, bugs get around those eyes and they would take it all and rub it around those eyes and around those eyelids, get it. So the bugs couldn't stick. Couldn't get in it. They could see. Holy Ghost will let you see things. the natural man can't see. Snake holes. They had that little oil pouch and that shepherd would be leading those sheep. Friend, he'd look and he'd see that old snake come up out of that hole. Stick his head around like he was going to bite on, hang on to one of his little sheep. He'd run up and stomp that sucker back in the ground. Yeah, take it all and go. Lead him on. That snake stick his head up. He'd go. How many times? How many times has a blessed Holy Ghost intervened on my behalf? I was walking down the path and the devil had his fangs out ready to grab onto
yes,
them.
Sir,
praise be unto God. God, in His amazing sovereign mercy and grace, would take care of it and says, not this time. Holy Ghost will get you through things no one else can. He'll protect you like no one else can. And then in mating season, top rams, 3 or 4 months before mating, they would get up on the hill. Then when the season come in, that shepherd said that they would run sometimes 100 yards apart, wide open, hit their heads, butt heads, and said horns would fly and jaws would break. Eyeballs come out of the socket. They hit so hard sometimes. And he said, we had to figure out something to do to take care of that friction. And he said, we just anointed our head with oil. And he said, we'd soak it down real good. And he said, they'd run and they would hit it right off. I'm going to tell you something. Praise be unto God. You can agree to disagree. That Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will keep you from butting your brains out. The Holy Ghost will keep you from knocking the horns off. The Holy Ghost, thank God, will take care of you when others can't. Then he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When he said, my cup runneth over, when that shepherd take that sheep and he take that nose, they have a temperature, run a fever, it run that nose down, and that water would run over. When I'm a little sick, a little stuck on myself, think I'm something, God will just knock them feet out from under me. Come along, pick me up, sing to him, and take my nose and stick it down in it. Water, the cup runneth over. Surely, that word means without a doubt, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David says, I will dwell, that means permanently, that's where, in the house that has reference to the new heaven and new earth. How long? Forever. That refers to eternity. I'm glad it ain't a one-night stand. I'm glad I can come in here and shout. You know what we're doing? We're practicing. Not that we need to. Because if you're perfect, you don't need to practice. We get to heaven, we'll be perfect. But if it's this good in the practice session, what's it going to be in a real game? David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not worry. I shall not walk, because underneath us there's green pastures. Beside us there's still waters. With us there's the Lord. Before us there's a table spread. Around us there's our enemies. But behind us there's goodness and mercy. And before us there's the house of God forever. Thank God I'm glad tonight. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I am thankful tonight as a little girl in the Sunday school class misquoted Psalms 23. She stood up and she said, the Lord is my shepherd. What more should I want? Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for leading, guiding, and directing. Seal these truths to the hearts of your people. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Ken.